Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for each and every one here. I thank you for every person that is not only hearing the message now, but that will hear the message on the internet. And I'm asking, Father, that you would carry your message clearly to our hearts here and now and to those that listen later. And that you would just encourage each and every one of us to be all that you would have us to be in you, to embrace what you have for us to embrace, to rejoice in our relationship with you, and to be your people in a world that desperately needs to see the light of Jesus. I just pray you honor this. Now, dear Holy Spirit, preach this message, accomplish your work, glorify your name, and lift up your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. This gets real and personal here. Now, nobody leave, okay? We're going to get real and personal here. Hey, Omari. Perfect timing. You can leave. It's fine. We won't think bad of you. God is good, man. That was good. That was perfect timing. I couldn't have planned it any better, right? But in dealing with real personal issues in our own life, the question is, have we ever felt a great distance between what we learn in Scripture, from what we learn in Scripture of our new life in Christ, and actually experiencing our new life in Christ? In other words, we're going to know and learn Scripture, but does it equate to the reality of that which we've learned being applied to our life? Scripture says that we are to know the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and learn from God and all these types of things. But if we know but we don't apply, it's vain. It's empty. It has absolutely no value because God wants us to experience new life in Him. And so we have to apply what we've learned. So the question again was, have you ever felt that there was a great distance between you and what you learn in Scripture and your new life in Christ and what you're actually experiencing in your life today? I know what God says. I know how I'm living. And there's a gap in between that I think all of us can say yes. I think every one of us in here can say, I know what God says and I know what I'm doing and I know it's not lining up. I know that I'm not living that way. We can all say, I believe, attest to that experience. It doesn't mean that it's all the time. It doesn't mean that it's a pattern of our life consistently, necessarily. But we can say that there are times that we do feel that distance from what God really wants for us in our life. A question I had asked last week was, have you ever felt stuck where you are in your walk with the Lord? You know, one of the things you've heard me say maybe is that every year I try to assess where I am spiritually in my walk with Christ. Have I grown in Christ Jesus this year? How do I evaluate that? What is my plumb line to that? How much closer am I to Jesus? That's the plumb line. How much closer are we to Jesus every year? It's a good assessment. Did I take it in January? Am I closer to Jesus? Am I more in love with Jesus than I ever have been? Then we can honestly say that we're growing. And we're growing because we've taken what God has taught us, and by His grace, not our own doing, we're applying it to our lives by faith, and we're experiencing the life that God wants us to have. But there are times when we will feel stuck where we are in our walk with the Lord. And I honestly think that's not a bad thing, and I know it sounds contradictive, but if we acknowledge that we're stuck in our walk with Christ, then we're telling God, God, I don't like being stuck. I need you to unstuck me. Bad English, good point, I hope. Okay? And so, do we feel discouraged because we feel that there's a lack of spiritual progress in our life? I might even go as far as to ask another personal question, does our spiritual progress matter to us? Ouch. See, we all have to come to a place in our commitment to Jesus, whether our walk with Jesus is really priority or not, where our spiritual relationship is really the priority of our life and our walk or not. And so we need to be, if we're asking the question of do we feel that there's a lack of spiritual progress in our life, that really reflects a good heart that says, I don't see the progress spiritually that I'm doing, that I know that I want to progress in my spiritual walk and relationship with Jesus. That's a good thing to acknowledge before God. The intent of the series of this message is to help us connect with the promises of God on a daily basis in our daily lives. So sometimes we learn about God. We learn about the truth of His Word. We know that we can gain a lot of information that's easy to gain. Man, I learned something great from that Bible study. Or, man, I never saw that before when I was reading God's Word today. Or, man, that message, just there's one point there that just got me like that. And we can gain that. And sometimes it's easily attained. But to apply it to our lives is a whole other matter, isn't it? Because Satan knows that, one, he tries to keep us from coming to know the Lord, number one. Number two, if we come to know the Lord, he tries to keep us from following the Lord. And number three, if we follow the Lord, he tries to keep us from serving him as he would have us to. Number four, if we do all that, he tries to keep us from being the people that he created us to be in him. And so if we identify that there's a gap between our natural, daily, physical walk in life and that of the relationship that God would have us to have, the knowledge that I know what God wants, but I know what I'm living, and there's a gap in between, that's what this message is about. How do we bring the gap between our experience in life to that of what we learn about Christ? And so we can become very puffed up. Scripture talks about that. It says, do not be puffed up with knowledge. The way I look at that is a head that's bigger than your shoulders is going to pop. It's not going to do much good. But if we take the knowledge that God gives us and we live it as God intends, and we can only do that through the power of God, then we're going to find the fullness and the richness that far exceeds the knowledge of biblical knowledge to the knowledge of relational knowledge with Christ. There's a difference between mental knowledge of spiritual truth and that of relational knowledge through the experience that we have had through applying it and walking with Christ. We can know it, we can understand it, but until we experience it in our relationship with God, it does not have the profound richness that God intends for it to have in our lives. And so we need to consider, how do we bring that gap or lessen that gap between the spiritual truth and the spiritual walk that God has for us. John Newton, the pastor who wrote Amazing Grace, he almost died in 1748. He cried out to God that God would save him both physically and spiritually, and God changed his life at that very, very moment. Changed his life from drinking and gambling, from being a slave trader of the time. In fact, the slave trading was that which is the most embarrassing, the most crushing, the most shameful mark on his life, was being a slave trader. And yet in all of that, in gambling and drinking and slave trading, saving his life from almost dying at sea and saving him spiritually, he eventually became a pastor. In one of his letters as a pastor, he had openly shared the struggles that he had with sin and temptation. That's a humble heart. How many of us are going to write down on a journal for other people to read when we're gone, hopefully, not while we're alive, here are the sins that I've struggled with? And this is part of what he wrote down, but it made it real. It made it real. It was a reality. And one of the things that he struggled with so much was the reality that he was a slave trader, and the horrible things that took place on the slave ships. I think the bottom line was God forgave him, right? When we receive Christ, he forgives us of our sin, past, present, and future. But he didn't forgive himself and receive the grace that God wanted him to experience in his life. And it wasn't until years later that gap of grace and forgiveness didn't close closer to God. You know what I'm saying? I know God's forgiven me. I know his grace and his mercy. I know all these things are true, but I can't forgive myself. This is where I'm at, and there's a gap. But when he finally experienced that grace and that forgiveness, that gap went away. And the relationship with God became richer. And that's the difference between knowledge of biblical truth and the experience of life in biblical truth with Christ. It took 40 years between his conversion and his conviction to receive that grace that God had already given him, but for him to accept. And the grace he received that first day was amazing, right? But it took, again, those 40 years. 40 years for that grace to root and blossom in his life. That's quite a bit of time. I wonder if he looked back and said, "Lord, forgive me. That's hindered me from being all that you wanted me to be for 40 years. Or, thank you, Lord, for what I went through. You've taught me a lot through it. Or a combination thereof." Like Pastor John Newton, first we too need to recognize the gap between what we learn in the truth of God's word and how we are living as Christians. I try to evaluate myself every year. And the plumb line again is, am I more in love with Jesus now than I was the year before? And we can identify that by our experience in Christ, our knowledge in him, our relationship with him. So admitting that there's a gap is a point to this message. If we're honest and concerned about our spiritual relationship with God, we have to assess for ourselves, is there a gap? Some days we feel like the gap is tremendous. Other days we feel like there's no gap and we're like this. But I'm talking about the pattern of our life. Is the pattern of our life, our spiritual walk with Christ, close as a consistent rule of thumb? Or is there a greater gap than there is a closeness? And so in John 7:37, I want us to read that in verse 38. It says, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.'" I'm going to throw something out at you this verse also relates to Genesis 1:1, believe it or not. But I'm not going to go there. But it is exciting to me. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his own heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Is that imagery? Yes. Is it something that's fabricated? Maybe sometimes we might think. But in reality, the intention is not that living water flows from us as a fabrication of how we view ourselves, but a reality of who we are in our relationship with Christ. To say it another way, we image or imagine the flowing living waters of God living through us, flowing through us. We identify with that by seeing the power of God work through us in ways that are far beyond our comprehension. We see God showing his power, his grace, his mercy, his provision, working in and through our lives that we can only say to ourselves and to him, "I know that was you." And God says, "I want you to see that not as a trickling effect in your life, but a flowing of rivers of water. I want you to experience me to where you're so overflowing with the reality that God is who he is and he's working powerfully in and through your life and my life." That's what God wants. But we have to be willing to look at the gap. If we have the gap, we don't have the connection as closely as we ought to for God to freely flow through us and for us to freely experience the blessings. He holds back blessings based upon the gap that we allow to remain there. And we must be willing to say, "I have this gap, Lord, and I want you to seal the gap so that I can experience the wonder of your power flowing through my life in a way that I have never known, that I would just be that much more humble before you with awe." That's what God wants, because, man, we've got that. There's power and knowledge and the experience of our relationship with Jesus through that. And so Jesus gives us an image. And remember, the series of messages is called Imagination. Jesus gives us an image to teach us about our life with him. He wants us to experience him. Now, what do we need to do? We need to activate our imagination for God and fix our eyes on the unseen. You know what? I love the challenge of faith. Because if to fix our eyes on the things that we don't see, faith is believing in that which we have not seen, right? To fix our eyes on the things that are unseen are a challenge of faith, but I love the challenge of faith because when we take the step of faith, we see the power of God revealed and working through us, and revealing himself in and through our lives that causes us to have a wow factor with God. Wow, look what he did. Wow, look at God. Wow, I am just blown away. Never, ever would I have ever thought that that would have been possible in and through my life. But God has called me and set me apart, each one of us, right, for him, with a specific purpose. Scripture says sanctified, set apart for him. And when we are willing to close the gap and walk close in our walk with Christ, then we're going to see the power of the living waters flowing through our life. And that's the very power of God working in and through our lives. In John 7:38b, it says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus said that. Hey, if you're thirsty for a spiritual walk with me, if you're serious about walking with me, if you're serious about being what I want you to be in me, then drink and the water will flow. Then experience and the thirst will be fulfilled. Then know me. That's what God is saying here. I want to pour out these living waters in your life. But there are things that are blocking the flowing of that water. You know the sad thing? Satan convinces us that that's okay because we're saved. Really? He convinces us that it's okay not to experience the flowing power of God in and through our lives the way he intends because we're saved and we're loved by God. See, it's another way that he steps in to stop us from being what God wants us to be and experiencing the fullness of what God intends for us to have in him. And so we must make the decision for ourselves if we want to be a vessel that God displays the life, living, flowing water of himself, his power working in and through our lives. So, when we hear the words or read the words of Jesus, okay, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, which are full, it's a full imagery thing. It's an imagination, but you've got to imagine that what do you see in your mind? Let me say it again. When Jesus says, let the living waters flow through you, what do you see in your mind right now as that relating to you? I'm not talking about the how. How do you relate to it? And I think the first part might be my relationship with God. That I sense the fullness and freedom of God working in and through my life, flowing through to accomplish what he wants. Because what does water give? Life. What is water symbolic of in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in and through our lives to live new life in Christ. God wants to bless that way. So once we believe in Jesus, we are united with him, and he is united with us. I want you to think about two different rivers, okay? The Mississippi River. How many of you have seen the Mississippi River? Clean as a whistle, isn't it? Muddy, clay-colored Mississippi River, but powerful, powerful. How about the American River here in Northern California? Yeah. Oh, I've seen it quite well. As our raft flipped over and I rode the undercurrent upstream, you know. So we see these pictures or these images of the power and the life-flowing effects of a river of running water. But God wants us to know that we're to imagine the very power and the wonder, the life-living flow of Jesus working through us to where we can say, man, I saw Jesus do something today in my life that I never thought would happen. I saw Jesus take care of this little thing or that great thing. I saw Jesus develop in and through me something I never thought that would be possible in my life. That's what God wants to do for his glory. And so we have a river of life, and that river of life in us is Jesus, is it not? Amen. Why in the world would we, well, why in the world would we dam up the river of life? Why would we create a dam? Why would we block the river of life? Because we're convinced that it's okay if the river of life is there, that's Christ, I'm content with it being contained there. God says, no, tear down the dam. Remove the blockade. Close in that gap. Walk close with me. Be surrendered to me 100% and experience a life-giving flow of His work in and through our lives. That's what God wants. But Satan has convinced us that it's okay to hold it, contain it. We're just content the river of life is there. We're to have that desire. And we can only recognize the power of God working in and through our lives by analyzing our lives honestly. Let's go back. Look at your life right now while you're sitting here, while you're listening to this. Like I said, many are going to be hearing this message. And ask yourself, do you see the river of life of Jesus, the power, the presence, the person, the life of Jesus, the Holy Spirit working in and through you fluidly? If not, is it a momentary thing? Or is it something that you experience on a regular basis in your walk with Jesus? Because that's what God wants. God wants us to have that. We have to ask ourselves, are we living like the river is flowing, or are we trickling out the living water? You know what I mean by trickling out? The dam has a little break in it. There's a little bit of trickling coming out. We ever see a waterfall, and the water comes out the rocks, not over necessarily, but through the rocks on the side of the mountain, finds this little crevice, and it comes out? Do people just see Christ in us in those little trickling ways? Or do they see the flowing life of Jesus living in and through our lives? Because that's the blessing. So, here's the first step to recognizing it. The first step to closing in that gap is recognizing we have a gap. Honesty before God is the key to change. Honesty before God is the key to change. And so again, we are to recognize the gap in our lives, and that needs to be closed. All right? Sometimes we can learn a truth about God and not be bothered by the gap that we just saw. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we know the truth of God and we're saying, well, I'm not interested in applying that truth, and I have no problem with the gap that it causes between you and I. Wow. I'm very content with the gap. Well, then you've been deceived, and so have I. If we accept that. Because Satan does not want us to live that. Satan wants us to live that way, and God doesn't. Some might say, leaving the church, nice sermon, Pastor, now I got to get back into the world where reality is. See, that's a gap. That's a compartmentalizing God on Sunday morning, and then living in the world in worldly ways that's not inclusive of God the way God intends. God is in us, we are in Him, and He's wherever we go. He's wherever we think. And so that type of thinking leads us to build a wall or a dam between God's truth and everyday life. And we know, Tim was working up there on the dam that was breaking up there, or whatever that place is up there, last year. Yeah, Orville. And the threat that dam was going to break loose. But spiritually thinking, man, if that thing broke loose and the effects that it would have, I'm not talking about the disaster, I'm talking about the power. That's what God wants us to realize in our life. But you know what? We're scared to death of the power of God working in our lives because we don't know what God's going to do. Don't be afraid of what God wants to do, because God loves you. And God wants to work wonderful things in our lives. So let the river flow. Close the gap. Walk close with God as God would have us to do. Don't compartmentalize our lives and still be able to close the gap. We can't compartmentalize. our lives and still be able to close the gap. In other words, we can't set God aside. We can't say, God, you belong here in this place of my life, and then expect to be close to God. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. We have to recognize or realize that when we believe in Jesus, we're united with him. He dwells in us and with us in every area of our life. Scripture says, I see clearly even in the dark as you see in the daytime. Paraphrasing that. God sees everything, knows everything, sees everything that we are, everything we think, every action we take, whatever it is, good or bad, it doesn't matter. He knows and sees it all. Absolutely. He's with us wherever we are. Therefore, we can't box him into Sunday mornings. We can try, but it's just not a reality because he lives in us and we live in him. We need to be mindful of his indwelling presence to close the gap between God's promises and our everyday life. The reason why we're mindful of the indwelling presence, of his indwelling presence, the reason why we're focusing on him is because we want the gap to be shorter. In other words, if I want to eliminate the gap in my life between God's will and my walk, to where my walk is in line with God's will, then I have to be willing to focus on him. I have to be willing to say, God, I want you. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to realize you more. I want to experience you more. I want to be that much more available for you. I want to die to myself. I want to give up on my own life for the sake of living the life that you created before, for your glory. Our union with Christ, obviously, is central to our salvation. You can't be saved without receiving Christ. But likewise, our neglect of our union with Christ will explain why we have a gap in our relationship with God. Saying it again, our union with Christ is absolutely necessary for our salvation. We have to receive him in our life. Our neglect of our union with Christ is the reason why we have the gap. So stop neglecting Christ, focus on Christ, follow Christ, die to self, allow him to be what God wants to be in and through your life and my life, that we might see the power of living waters living through us. It's almost like too much. Okay, Lord, you can let the water flow quickly and have a burst of flowing water. But to imagine that God wants the flowing power of his living water flowing through us with such power all the time, without exhaustion, experiencing him and the wonder of who he is. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says this, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now you might say, well, that's salvation. I've received him in my heart. He lives in my heart. I've asked him to forgive me of my sin, come live in my heart. He's my Savior. He lives in me. He's joined with me and I with him. That we're looking at the word joined here as being an act of salvation, but that's not what it means in the original language. It means here, but he who is joined is that one that is to be cleaved to, someone who is like glue that cleaves to God. That word joined is like glue. That we are so glued to God and that we choose to keep company with him with a very glued, tight relationship. That's what God wants. And so it says again, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The dam is broke. The blockade is not there. The oneness of our spirit with Christ's spirit and the fullness of God in our life is evident. Have you ever met a Christian and you go, wow, I would just love to have the faith that they have. Wow, I can see Christ just radiantly in their lives. Why is that? It's because they've eliminated the gap and they've glued themselves to Christ. And that's our choice. That's what we should do. In Romans 6, 4 through 7, it says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, or into death. That just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. You get that? We're united in Christ in his death. we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, new life. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. We wrestle with a sinful nature, but when we die to ourselves, the power of sin does not have dominancy in our lives. Because when we die to ourselves, we're yielding ourselves to God. And it's there that we find the one there in the power of Jesus that gives us victory over temptation of sin. One of my favorite verses, Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I got to thinking, well, I didn't die physically on the cross with Jesus. I didn't die spiritually on the cross with Jesus. In fact, Jesus died absolutely alone on the cross for my sin, for our sin. So how does it mean that I died with Christ? For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It means that I've died to myself, my control of my life. And this is contrary to our human nature, but in the Spirit of God, that when we let go of the control of our life and yield ourselves over to God, we essentially are laying ourselves down on an altar like Isaac was willing to allow his father Abraham to lay him on that altar and to sacrifice himself freely and completely and wholly for the glory of God. That's our choice. That's our choice. And when we die to ourselves and we say, it's not about me, it's about you, Lord. It's not about what I want, it's about what you want, Lord. It's not about my plans, but it's about your plans. It's not about my direction, it's about your direction. It's not about my purposes, it's about your purpose. It's not about my design and what I think is logical and right and smart and all these things. It's about what you know is right and logical and smart. Those things that bring you honor and glory. That's what God wants. Paul wrote in his letters and always addressed the Christian or believer as those who were in Christ. He never addressed the believers in Christ as Christians. Christians is a terminology that came later. We know that Christians were called those of the way of Jesus. Paul referred to believers as those who are in Christ. And I think that re-emphasization, if you will, is one that we need to hear. You who are in Christ. Doesn't that impact us? We are in Christ. He is in us. Somehow we accept more fully that he's in us than we accept the reality of him, of us being in him. We are in Christ. It has an impact. David, we're switching gears just for a moment, because when we're in Christ, being in Christ is that like Christ representing his people. For example, David represented the people of Israel when he fought Goliath. David's victory brought victory for all the people of Israel. Now here it is, wrap it up. For if we are united in Christ, then we are united to him in all that he has done for us. Praise God. If we want to enjoy the fullness of Christ and all that he has paved the way for us to have in him, it's there because we are in him. But we must not dam up the river of life. We must close the gap by walking in the Spirit, walking in step with Jesus. It's not an impossibility. It's not a lofty ideal. It is a reality that God has called each one of us to have. Walk in step with me, know me, and the fullness of life in me, like a river of water flowing out of you. You will see me, my power, my presence working in and through you. So since we're in Christ, we're to follow his example. What was the example that Christ gave us? He died, right? He died. So we're to die to ourselves as Christ died for us and live in a new resurrected life in him. Christ died and he rose. If he never rose, our faith would be empty and vain and worthless. But he rose and he's alive today. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He sits on the throne of our heart if we allow him to be Lord. He's in our heart if we receive him, but the throne of our heart is a decision. You understand what I'm saying? Just because you receive Christ doesn't mean he's Lord of your life. We have to put him in that position. We have to say, Lord, you have the lordship over my life. I'm not just content with being saved. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you on the throne of my heart. I want you, for I give myself as a living sacrifice to you. And we know the fullness of life that we never thought was possible through Christ. So let's consider, to close the gap, we first need to recognize there's a gap between God's truths or promises and the life that we're living. There are days when we know that we're distant from God, yet he's with us. We have to acknowledge those distances, and we have to seek God to close the gap. Next, we're to close the gap. We must recognize that we're united with Christ, believing what he did for us. Through Christ, I can walk in step, in spirit, united with Christ today, right now. I can have that spiritual intimacy with God on a regular, daily basis. We have to recognize that. And lastly, to help us close the gap, we need to realize that our old self is to be crucified with Christ. Boy, there's lots of times, and sometimes every day, many times through the day, I will say, Lord, just kill my old man nature. Just kill that old man nature. The ugly snake that raises his head. You know what I'm saying? Just kill that old man sinful nature, because I want to know you. And it is a wrestling match. But victory is already ours because we're in Christ and he is in us. He's already won and given the victory for us to experience that victory here and now in him. In Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Can we answer that question as being equal to what Paul is saying? Can you and I say, I am no longer living my life, but I see Christ. My life is seeing Christ live through me. That's a plumb line. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We should no longer live in of ourselves. Christ should be living through us at all times. It's not about us living, it's about Jesus living through us. Let's look at ourselves, because at this time, we need to examine ourselves. I want you to walk away today saying, Lord, I'm willing to look at myself honestly before you, and I want you to show me if there's a gap in my relationship with you. If there's no gap, you already know, because you're walking in step in the Spirit. But if there's a gap, are you willing to hear God tell you? And if we're willing to recognize that and acknowledge that and let God draw us in closer to him, we're not going to be sorry. We're going to be enriched with the riches that we've never known. And so examine ourselves and determine if we have that gap, if we're living for ourselves or if we're dying to ourselves. Are we living for ourselves or are we dying to ourselves? Right? Are we letting Christ live through us every day? So if we do this on a regular basis, we'll close the gap between God's truth and what we're experiencing daily. If every day we check ourselves with God, we know in our spirit, we know if we're in fellowship, we know how close we are to him, we know if we're focused on him, we know where we're at with him, but we must consciously acknowledge that and walk with him that he might live through us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, through your Son, you've offered rivers of life flowing waters through us, the powerful power of you, dear Holy Spirit, working in and through our lives. that we recognize that we can experience and go, wow, that was you, God, doing that through me, or wow, that was you, God, picking me up and carrying me when I couldn't stand any longer, or wow, Lord, that was you wrapping your arms around me when my heart was broken. Wow, Lord, that's you revealing yourself to me. I couldn't discover that, but you gave that to me. You're a revelation of who you are to me. And we can add and add and add and add to that. That's that as components of that river of life. May we only experience the reality of the river of life of Jesus in and through our lives in greater ways. And may we, each one of us, consciously make the commitment and the decision to say, Lord, I will not dam up what you want to do through my life. So honor that and help us to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com. And tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.